Thank you for joining us, and welcome to The Stage, the official performing arts podcast of the NFHS. Lights, camera, action. Hello, I'm glad you tuned into The Stage. I'm your host, Kyle Mills, and we have a great show coming up. This is episode 2 of The Stage, again, the NFHS official performing arts podcast. We had a very special guest join us for this episode, or you could say a titan of a guest. Dr. Rich Edwards, communications professor at Baylor, and author and editor of the NFHS Forensic Quarterly, now known as the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly, joined us. We'll get into that name change a lot later, but Dr. Edwards has been at the forefront of policy debate for over 40 years and offers insight into the process, how he goes about the process every single year in writing the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly. You're not going to want to miss it. But first, I know we talked about it last week, but Oak Grove High School in Hattiesburg, Mississippi was selected as the National Performing Arts School of Excellence. Oak Grove went all out for this award. They got a massive billboard right off the highway to recognize their performing arts programs. They had cake and a celebration for their performing arts teachers. And they continuously showed why their school was deserving of this national award. They put out a really sweet video as well that kind of highlighted all of their different performing arts programs. Go check out the NFHS social media pages. That's NFHS_org, or go to the website NFHS.org. Again, all of that stuff is online. Go check out the Oak Grove High School social media pages, our social media pages. We really tried to highlight Oak Grove High School and all of the awesome things going on there. Thank you for being such a great example, Oak Grove. The September issue of High School Today is out. Make sure to grab a copy or contact the NFHS if you are not currently subscribed. It is also available online. It really dives into the issue of vaping and e-cigarettes and how much of a problem they are in high schools. Again, go check out the September issue of High School Today. Before we get into that interview with Dr. Rich Edwards, I do want to tell you about the Adjudicating Speech and Debate course on the NFHS Learning Center. That's at nfhslearn.com. Speech and Debate provides a setting outside of the classroom for students to showcase their creative, critical thinking, collaborative, and communication skills. To help you as an adjudicator support the development of these skills, the NFHS has partnered with the National Speech and Debate Association to bring you Adjudicating Speech and Debate. This course is free online. Adjudicating Speech and Debate is free for you to take at nfhslearn.com. This course has been designed to provide adjudicating guidelines to identify the different types of speech and debate events and educate on the cultural context necessary to adjudicate speech and debate. Example student performances are included to give you an opportunity to practice adjudicating real performances while also providing guidance on what to note during a performance. To learn and improve upon your adjudicating skills, take Adjudicating Speech and Debate. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran adjudicator or someone that's brand new walking in with eyes wide open, this course can teach you something. I've taken the course and it really opened my eyes to all the different aspects involved with adjudication. Best of all, it's free. So go on right now to nfhslearn.com and the NFHS Learning Center and take Adjudicating Speech and Debate. Okay, here he is, Dr. Rich Edwards. All right, so we want to welcome on Dr. Rich Edwards. He's the professor of communication studies at Baylor and the current author and editor of the Forensic Quarterly. Dr. Edwards, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So let's just dive into the Forensic Quarterly right away. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, wow. 1975 was my first year. Quite a story related to that.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, I was the topic proposer of a topic that year that involved an international agent. So the development and allocation of scarce world resources should be controlled by an international organization, which shocked a lot of people's sensibilities.
Yeah.
And Bill Reynolds, William Reynolds, who had written the Forensic Quarterly for a number of years, he was at Georgetown University, refused to write it on that topic. He said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he didn't want to touch it.
No, he didn't. And so I was selected to do that, and I've been doing it ever since.
You got the short straw, or did you want to do it, or I wanted to do it,
okay. But his view was it was a really bad topic. I, of course, thought it was a really good topic.
Because you proposed it.
Correct. So he was like, help yourself.
Okay. And for those of you that are listening that don't know, the Forensic Quarterly is an annual publication for policy debate that provides a basis for individual research and a springboard for critical analysis on the yearly topic. We just finished the topic 2018-2019 on immigration. This year, 2019-2020 school year, is arms sales.
Yes.
And the Forensic Quarterly is out there for people to buy, for debaters, debate coaches. What are your thoughts on the arms sales topic, since you've divulged a lot of time and effort into creating the Forensic Quarterly this year?
Well, it's about as timely as any topic could be right now. The Trump administration, love him or hate him, made a number of very significant changes to U.S. arms sales, and I guess we could talk about those particular changes, but most people are aware of them if they follow the news. So,
yeah,
it has changed the world in the way that the United States deals with other countries, and that creates a lot of opportunities for debate.
Yeah, for better or for worse, there's a lot of things that are debatable there. What process do you go through as you start writing?
Well, it's a very time-bound process because I get the topic once the national vote is concluded, about January 10th, which is my birthday. And so I start in earnest then, and then my deadline for submission is about a month and a half later, so that's a very short time frame. I have always, in the many years that I've done the Forensic Quarterly, been devoted to starting with books. So the very first thing that I do once I know the topic is to request books from the Baylor Library and from Interlibrary Loan. I try to go through 150, 200 books on the topic because books are a comprehensive discussion of the topic. I always try to find books that have been written in the last two or three years to keep the information current. Because it's my concern that debaters these days ignore books, which I think are really, really important resources. And then I go out from there to law reviews and to newspaper articles and so on. But I like to start with books.
So I know that you said you get the topic on January 10th, but a little birdie has told me that maybe you have a habit of predicting the topic correctly before it's even announced.
Well, I try to predict it. Once the national vote gets down to the last two, I can look at those two and say, what do I think it's going to be? So if I have a really good feeling about it, I do start early. That lets me start sometime late November at least, which is another month, which is really, really important. I've missed a few times, though.
Okay, and then you got to play catch up a little bit.
A little painful.
Yeah. Is it overly daunting at times? Because there's obviously it's a quarterly journal. And you think about all the work that you have in front of you, and there's deadlines, and you have your own full-time job, and you go to teach clinics and stuff like that. And sometimes does that overwhelm you in early January when you get the topic?
Well, after a number of years, I have gotten used to the routine.
Yeah.
And preparing for the Forensic Quarterly does really give me the background that I need to teach debate clinics on the policy topic. So it's a very useful time that I spend.
Okay. Because just the thought of that, I know when Dr. Weaver and I edit it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is Rich. Dr. Edwards did all of the work, and now we're just, we're going through it with a fine-tooth comb. Can you explain the difference between the four volumes just to our listeners out there and maybe why each are important?
Well, the first volume is really just an introduction to the topic. So what are the background issues? What are the dimensions of the topic? And obviously, in my first look at the topic, I don't always discover all of those dimensions. That sometimes over the course of a year, we open up new areas that I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah.
But that's why I like to read a broad range of books on the topic to try to get, it's a brainstorming exercise for me. Like, what are all of the dimensions of this topic, as much as I can anticipate them? So that first issue is designed to introduce debaters to the background issues on the topic, kind of what do you need to know about the topic. And we include a couple of appendices, whatever is the appropriate term, with a glossary, like what a glossary of major terms on the topic. And then I also, in recent years, have taken a look at what is the congressional legislation in the current Congress, last session of Congress, that focuses on this, because that adds a kind of a real-world dimension to the topic. What do members of the Senate and House of Representatives, what are they proposing in this particular area? And recently we've chosen topics where, you know, typically there are hundreds of bills that are introduced in Congress dealing with the very thing that we're going to be debating.
Yeah. And it sounds like the first volume is really kind of that foundational, you need to have this. And then the other ones, you kind of present the different sides of the debate.
Well, the second volume is an annotated bibliography, and that too is prepared very early. Actually, as you probably know, I submit volume two before I submit volume one, because bibliographies, research precede actual analysis of the topic. But I always enjoy the annotations, so I'm kind of asking myself, okay, if I were a debater, which I was one of many years ago, going to this particular site, would I find usable evidence there, or what would I find? And I always try to focus on the key things that a debater would likely find if they were to go to that website. Mm-hmm. We always, recently at least, have tried to limit Volume 2 bibliography to things that are accessible to debaters on the web.
Yeah.
So that they could find them for their very own selves and read them and get their own background to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Then Volume 3 is not written by me. It's written by a friend at Wichita State University and actually two colleagues there.
Yeah.
And they really lay out what are likely affirmative cases, basic affirmative cases in the center of the topic. And then I write Volume 4 again, which is a response to them, essentially trying to say, well, here's why you're wrong.
I love that. So last question, how important is the Forensic Quarterly to debate coaches and debaters all across the country?
Well, it's a first look. It's a basic look. So, you know, we make no claim to being the last and final word on the topic. We try to be the first word on the topic.
Yeah.
Everyone in policy debate starts a new year from ground zero. We're all just kind of, well, we may have known something about the topic before.
Yeah.
We're all kind of starting from, okay, what is this, and what are we going to be talking about over the year? And when we put out the first two issues of the Forensic Quarterly, what we're trying to say is, here is how we think the topic is going to go. And certainly a lot of my friends at other universities that teach debate clinics and so on, they typically email me and want to pick my brain, like, you know, what do you think, and so on. So I enjoy sort of having that first look.
Well, yeah, they know that you're the guy to come to. Well, awesome. Yeah, Dr. Edwards, thank you so much for joining us, and this is great to kind of pick your brain. I know thousands of people read the Forensic Quarterly every year and have for a long, long time. So thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Okay, Dr. Rich Edwards, thank you for that interview. Outstanding stuff right there. The 2019-2020 Forensic Quarterly, now known as the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly, is available for sale right now on nfhs.org. Go to the speech and debate page, and it should be on the right-hand side. Copies are available in both print and digital formats. Make sure to get yours today to be prepared for the national debate topic of arms sales. We have provided a plethora of information on nfhs.org regarding this year's topic: affirmative cases, topic terms, counterplans, negative responses, and much more. We will also be announcing the final two topics on the 2020-2021 policy debate ballot in the next episode, so you won't want to miss that. Going along with that, a new story just went up this week with the five topics on the policy debate ballot for the 2020-2021 school year that I mentioned last episode. The votes are pouring in from states, and the top two will be announced later this month, like I said. So you don't want to miss it. Tune in to hear the final two topics on the 2020-2021 national debate ballot. I know I mentioned earlier that the NFHS Forensic Quarterly, something that's been around a long time, is now changing its name to the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly. Again, this will still be written by Dr. Rich Edwards. It'll still have the great content. It'll still talk about the national debate topic for this year and years in the future. Again, this year is arms sales. But this is something we just thought a name change was necessary. The NFHS Speech, Debate, and Theater Advisory Committee met in mid-September at the Performing Arts Conference and voted on this change. So nothing is going to change except the name and the marketing and branding of the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly. It is still available online right now, both print and digital formats. Go grab it today at nfhslearn.org. Again, it's going from the NFHS Forensic Quarterly to the NFHS Policy Debate Quarterly. The guest that we have on in the next podcast features an expert on a subject that not everyone understands. It's definitely something that is an issue in education and performing arts today, but it's something that is complex and has a lot of different layers to it. So make sure to tune in for that and get educated. Before you go, make sure to follow the NFHS on social media accounts at NFHS_org. Please send in questions or comments to me at kylemills@nfhs.org. That's kmills@nfhs.org. Please be sure to share this episode with your contacts and subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is hosted on Budsprout, but you can get it on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and much more. Anyone that you think needs to learn about arts advocacy with Randy Cohen, again, that's episode 1, that's on there. You can forward that to your contacts. And this episode with Dr. Rich Edwards about the Forensic Quarterly, now known as the Policy Debate Quarterly. Please help grow and expand the podcast by sharing the work that the NFHS is doing to help performing arts all across the nation.